96.1 and 1270.
I want to take a picture of you guys too.
I don't have a crush. I haven't participated on the Women Crush Wednesdays and the Man Crush Mondays, but I'll work on that. I gotta work. It's very humbling to be compared to Muhammad Ali. I see Jay-Z and Beyonce everywhere. Earl Thomas is a fashion icon. Oh yeah, Macklemore is as cool as a Frozen fan, man. Even about Justin Bieber. New Jersey has been great, man. It's been a nice city. It hasn't snowed as much as they said. Thank you, New Jersey, for being awesome. You guys are amazing.
I can't even watch TV no more. You know why?
Why?
Because Richard Sherman getting Aaron Hernandez coverage.
Oh, my God. Media Day, still recovering from it. I've got audio clips for you from the Seahawks half of Media Day today. This is CBS Sports Radio, 96.1, 1270, worldwide, renosportsradio.com. How you doing, Sports Buffet? My name is Notch. The Richard Sherman Show yesterday. I got to get up on my slang. Macklemore is as cool as a Frozen fan. Never heard that one before. It's good he gave props to the city of New Jersey, though. I'm really glad that a Stanford grad with a master's degree can make sure that the city of New Jersey gets all the proper credit for the hosting of the Super Bowl that they've been doing so far. Yeah, Seahawks half of the media day. Yesterday, here on the Sports Buffet, I played a lot of the Denver Broncos half. I will mention that Wes Welker, when you look at one of the websites, sports websites, like CBSSports.com or ESPN or FoxSports.com, they're trying to make it sound like Wes Welker had something inflammatory to say about Richard Sherman, and that's not really the case. I didn't get the audio clip because it was really inconsequential. Deion Sanders basically asked him a softball question about Richard Sherman, to where Wes Welker, as him and Deion are kind of chuckling, you know, because it wasn't a real interview. If Deion Sanders is doing it, it's not a real interview. Let's just say. You'll know what I'm talking about here in a few minutes. But, Deion throws a softball question to Wes Welker, and Wes is basically like, Richard Sherman just got to stop doing one-on-ones, you know. But then he's like, well, hey, you know, I'll take a one-on-one in the slot. So he tied a football thing in with one-on-one interviews. But they make it sound like Wes Welker tells Richard Sherman to STFU and focus on football. Because you click on the link. It's called clickbait, by the way. That's an internet term. Where they just get you to click on stuff. It's kind of like being Rickrolled. If you don't know what that is, you got to Google it. It's actually a really good prank to play on people. So that last bit from the Richard Sherman medley that I played wasn't actually Richard Sherman. That was Bruce Irvin, the linebacker of the Seahawks. Richard Sherman's getting Aaron Hernandez coverage. At least he didn't have to do something that Aaron Hernandez did to get Aaron Hernandez coverage, which is good. It's good to get Aaron Hernandez coverage as long as you don't have to kill anybody to get it. Richard Sherman playing it up really good. He knew there were a lot of mainstream media there. He couldn't go all football player on the regular media, because Media Day is a circus. It's not just sports media. You've got other people there that some of them don't even know sports or like sports. But Richard Sherman, he played it up. I'm really proud of him. His agent's really proud of him. Hopefully some of those endorsement ideas I came up with on Monday will come to fruition. Richard Sherman, someone asked him about cutting his dreads. Apparently Earl Thomas started a rumor. So somebody asked him about cutting his dreads. Got some other Richard Sherman audio. Of course we have Richard Sherman audio. Why wouldn't we have Richard Sherman audio? This, probably the best thing he said, believe it or not, the entire media day.
Last week I felt like I regretted, you know, just attacking a man, you know, attacking it and taking away from my teammates. And just, you never want to talk down on a man and to build yourself up and things like that. So I regretted that, and I regretted taking the attention away from my teammates. And that's the one thing I wish I could do again.
Well, I say it's the best thing he said. He actually showed regret for talking all the stuff about Crabtree, Michael Crabtree, but still no apology to Michael Crabtree. He apologized to his teammates. He's still more regretful about the whole, you don't talk bad about a man. He didn't say Crabtree by name. You don't talk that way about a man. And I'm sorry that my teammates got distracted by this whole thing. Then, of course, someone had to bring up the golden mediocre word to Richard Sherman, but he didn't bite on it. I will give him credit for that. He didn't bite on it.
Michael Crabtree is mediocre. What is Peyton Manning?
Peyton Manning's numbers speak for themselves. I think he's one of the best in the history of the game, and I think he's broken multiple records to prove that. And he's a living legend right now. He's been a living legend for years.
So at least he's giving props to Peyton Manning. Didn't take the bait. You knew he was going to try to take the bait. That's why they asked the question. That's why they dropped the M word on there, the mediocre. That's Richard Sherman's catch thing. Don't you ever talk about me and the word mediocre. Told you, mediocre police. It's a golden ad campaign. Golden ad campaign. The question of the entire Super Bowl media day was asked to Richard Sherman. People were talking about it all over Twitter. This is what Media Day is all about at the Super Bowl.
As far as money is concerned, all of you football guys is going into the strip club and throwing, raining down on these strippers. I think that's a bad example for our young ladies. How can we stop that? Because I think it's a bad example that we're setting for our young girls that they need to be strippers. How do we deal with that issue?
Oh, well, I've never gone in a strip club and thrown money, so I couldn't tell you. But I guess trying to understand that there are other avenues, there's other ways you can make money, that women are can do anything they want in this world. You know, you can go out there and be a CEO of a company. You can go out there and like I said before, the same can be said for kids in inner city, that the ceiling is limitless, and don't limit yourself to those possibilities and those circumstances.
Great answer by Richard Sherman. You really gotta recognize his media. Everyone's using media savvy now, so I gotta figure out another way to say it. He's gonna be a broadcaster when he's done playing football. I just know it. Because one of the other things I asked him was, what would he be doing if he wasn't in football? He said he would be in football in some capacity, either coaching or scouting. He's gonna be in broadcasting. I guarantee he's gonna be in broadcasting. And not just because some jock sniffing program director of a sports station somewhere is going to say, hey, he's an athlete, he played the game, I don't care if he knows how to talk, I'm still going to hire him. He actually would be great at broadcasting. The fact that he's a famous athlete doesn't matter. Even if he wasn't a famous athlete, he'd still be really good at this. Got a few things to say about this. You could tell she wasn't the traditional sports media. She probably wasn't even in the media. I don't know how she got a credential in there. A lot of people are criticizing the timing of the question, that it's a great question to ask, but this isn't the right place to ask it. I disagree with that. I think this is the appropriate time to ask that kind of question to Richard Sherman, because you know that everybody's going to be listening. This is a major social issue. Couple observations, though. First of all, we don't need strippers. We like strippers. We don't need to have women take their clothes off, but we enjoy it. Generally speaking. So there's no need for strippers. There's no embargo of stripping that needs to be handled somehow. And to disagree with Richard Sherman, we're probably going to agree to disagree on this, but I've been to strip clubs before, and I don't think that every woman in a strip club is a potential CEO of a company. I've been to strip clubs before. In my younger days, I don't go anymore because, to be honest, it's one of the biggest wastes of money you're ever going to encounter, going to a strip club. Imagine going to one of the casinos to their buffet. And for $5, the casino will let you go up to the buffet, and you can smell the buffet as long as you want. But every half hour, you got to give them another dollar. But you can stand there and smell the buffet all you want. You can't touch the food. You can't get a plate and scoop up some meatloaf and mashed potatoes and put it on a plate. You can stand there and smell the food all you want, but there's no touching. No touching allowed. But you can keep spending money. A dollar for a half hour worth of smelling the food. And then when you're sick of smelling the food and you're really, really hungry, then you got to leave and you got to go get some food somewhere else. Or if you gave them like $150, they'd get you a bowl of mac and cheese on the side. It wouldn't be the best food they had, but one of the cooks there for a substantial amount of money might take you in the back and set you up with a plate. But don't tell anybody, because That would be wrong. Strip clubs are bad. Not everybody. I mean, I'm not going to just bash women. There's a bunch of teenage, college-age males that I know, that I encounter. They're not management material either. So it's not just a bash woman thing. It's not a sexist thing. Not everybody is cut out to be great at something. I hate to say that. Not everybody's a CEO. So I was wrong there about Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman was wrong about that. But this is the perfect time to ask that question. People were saying this is the most inappropriate way to ask this question. This isn't the right venue for that question. This is the perfect venue for this question. It's a social issue. And when are you going to bring it up otherwise? You gotta get publicity out there for the fact that this type of behavior does exist. And generally speaking, this type of behavior should stop. I mean, she was probably a feminist asking the question, but still, misogyny and abuse of women shouldn't be tolerated. That being said, when you give a homeless man like 35 cents, like if I'm walking downtown on Virginia Street and there's a homeless veteran, I give him 35 cents, I'm just a compassionate, giving, caring person helping out someone less fortunate than myself. When a professional athlete throws hundreds of dollars up in the air for women that are less fortunate than he is financially and socially, they're being vilified for doing that. Aren't you helping these ladies? You're not just putting a dollar bill in their garter. Because they'll do some things that you'd be mortified to think of what they're doing. And all they're really getting sometimes is just a dollar or two here and there. But these pro athletes, why are you vilifying them for overpaying for the exact same thing that most people will only give you a dollar or two for? They throw hundreds of dollars up in the air. I'm not going to say it's a way of respect. It's not a form of respect, but it's close. If you're a stripper and you're trying to get out of that lifestyle, who are you most looking forward to seeing in your establishment? Are you looking forward to seeing the truckers and the radio guys that give you the dollar every now and then? Or the ones that are just there for the couple of drinks and the ones that won't even give you the dollar when you come by? You have to come by after they do their set on the stage. They have to come by and they have to go, "Hey, baby, you see me up there?" And the guy's, "No, I just got in here. I didn't see you. I just went to the bar, got a drink. I just got here. I didn't see you. So I don't have any dollars. I was waiting to get a lap dance with somebody, but I'm just looking right now. I'm just shopping around. I'm just browsing." They hate it when you use the word browsing at one of those establishments. Like I said, I've been there. Not in a long time. Waste of money. But still. So Richard Sherman gave a great answer to that. He was wrong about the whole CEO thing. Pete Carroll was asked if his nose was as crooked as Owen Wilson's. He was also asked, just like, remember yesterday I said Sean Williams, the defensive lineman of Denver, got asked if the Super Bowl on Sunday was a must-win game? Well, someone asked Pete Carroll the same question. I think it's the same guy. I think it's the same guy that probably went around to as many booths as he can and asked as many people as he could the same stupid question. Is this a must-win game for you? I think there should be a rule at Super Bowl Media Day to where if you're going to ask a question, whether it's a serious, legitimate sports question or whether it's an asinine question, like, is this game a must-win game for you? You should be required to tell everybody who you are and who you work for. So that way, DJ Slappy from Power 107, Delaware's hottest hits, the morning show guy for a top 40 station in Wilmington, Delaware, he should have to tell everyone that he's a goofy, wacky top 40 DJ asking silly, stupid, asinine questions at Super Bowl Media Day. I think that should be required. Kind of like the girl yesterday that asked John Fox to give a shout out to the people of New York and New Jersey. Don't forget New Jersey. Come on. If you're going to be the silly morning show, wacky, top 40 DJ, if you play 10 songs in a row every hour, you got to make sure you include that in there. because that's one of the things they teach us in radio is repetition. You pound home the call letters, the position statements. If you're Delaware's hottest hits, you play 10 songs in a row, own it. Bring it out there. Let everybody know before you're going to ask these guys if the Super Bowl is a must-win game. Please do that. I'm just... I will give credit to this person that asked Carol a softball question.
Tracy Bauer with Sports Illustrated Kids. In your opinion, how many points per game are due to the 12th man?
I don't know about that in terms of points, but it's absolutely connected to the emotion that we play with and the energy that we play with. So I don't know that the points. It just depends on the game. They don't score the touchdowns for us, but they sure help us score them. And so they're a big factor always.
See, the 14-year-old girl for Sports Illustrated Kids is more professional than DJ Slappy from Power 107, Delaware's Hottest Hits, asking people if this is a must-win game. It's this ridiculous softball question. She's got to throw in the 12th man. Of course they have nothing whatsoever to do with how many points the team scores. I mean, the fans like to take credit. They high-five each other after false start penalties. But that's an indirect thing. The fans don't directly account for any points. It was a dumb question. I'm going to give her slack, though, because she's young. And you don't want to dampen the enthusiasm for journalism. Because you see so much on the news nowadays. You see the bashing that the media gets. And trust me, the media deserves some of the bashing they get. The dead horse industry that the media is. It was a ridiculous question. But Pete Carroll, like the professional he is, just answered the question. Didn't say any negative things about... It's amazing how many times that these professional sports figures get asked the most just insane things. But they just, without missing a beat... Just answer it. Wish Marshawn Lynch would be more professional. Marshawn Lynch, we talked yesterday, he's the Skittles endorser, who he may or may not be at Media Day. He showed up to Media Day. He went to his podium for 6 minutes, basically didn't talk to anybody, and then he left the podium, but he couldn't leave the building because the Seahawks gave everybody a ride to the Prudential Center, and they're his ride. You can't leave. I mean, he could have gone out into downtown Newark and hailed a cab or something. But no, he hung out. He was hiding, basically. Wouldn't talk to anybody, which I disagree with. Deion Sanders talked to him. I'm going to play that interview in just a second here. The NFL is not going to find Marshawn Lynch. NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy had this to say about why the NFL will not find Marshawn Lynch. Players are required to participate, and he participated. Marshawn Lynch probably made more of an impact by not talking than he would have by talking. The Pro Football Writers of America released a statement saying they were extremely disappointed with Lynch's behavior during Media Day. Several of our longstanding and high-profile members were appalled by Mr. Lynch's conduct and refusal to answer any questions, the statement continued. And I agree with this because, like I said, you're a famous athlete. Nobody's putting a gun to your head to be a famous athlete. Marshawn Lynch, since he was a kid, since his mom fed him power pellets, couldn't call it candy, fed him Skittles, had to call him power pellets. He's been playing football since peewee, always wanted to be famous. If you don't want to talk to the media, either don't go into pro sports or stink at pro sports. Because if you're the third string running back, they're probably not going to want to talk to you. You're the one that decided you had to be a star running back on a team that's in the Super Bowl, and you don't want to talk to people? Well, I'm sorry. I mean, Foot Locker needs people to help you with the shoes. You know, there's nothing that says you have to be rich and famous. And it kind of bothered me because there were two sets of people on the NFL Network analyst booth. There were the non-jocks, like someone in the front office of the Giants, but he wasn't an athlete, you could tell. And Rich Eisen and Melissa Stark. Melissa Stark's actually back, and she hasn't aged 1 second since she was doing the sideline reporting on Sunday Night Football. She still looks good. Thank God Melissa Stark is back. They were questioning Marshawn Lynch and his dedication. But then you had Marshall Faulk and Kurt Warner who were defending Marshawn Lynch. Well, some people just aren't talkers. Some people just Marshall Faulk was saying that Marshawn Lynch, he was thinking of his team because he didn't want to say something stupid and controversial that would put a lot more pressure on the Seahawks. Basically, he didn't want to do what Richard Sherman's been doing the last week or so. But I don't agree with that. No one says you have to be famous. That's the price of fame. You can't make Marshawn Lynch a victim of the system that makes him rich and famous. Because there's a lot of people that would kill to be in Marshawn Lynch's position. Pete Carroll, though, defended Marshawn Lynch also. I heard he did a great 6 minutes, Coach Carroll said. Some comedians make a career off of that. As someone that occasionally attempts to be funny, I can relate to that statement. Some comedians make a career off of 6 minutes of funny material. I'm still waiting for the other 5 minutes of my funny material. Deion Sanders did get a hold of him. Like I said, Deion Sanders, if it's Deion Sanders talking to you, it's not a real interview. I'm going to play for you right now the entire contribution Marshawn Lynch made to Super Bowl Media Day. I'm going to play the entire interview with Marshawn Lynch and Deion Sanders.
How you doing, big fella?
Smooth.
You look good.
You do too.
Somehow right? The transmitter there. Whoa.
Smooth.
I like when you got off the plane with the beast mode and everything. It look like you're ready to play, man.
Yep, that's what time it is.
You kind of shy?
Nah.
You just don't want to talk, really?
I'm just about that action, boss.
You ready to go get it. You just like to do it.
That's what it is. I ain't never seen no talking with me nothing.
Yeah.
Yep. Been like that since I was little. Was raised like that.
Well, I respect it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good
game. You go get it. Ain't no need to talk about it.
You excited about the game?
Hell yeah. Yeah.
See, these are real emotions, man.
Yeah.
What emotion? Is. There's no emotion in this.
It's on your back. They feel like if they can stop you, they can stop this team.
Well, they're going to have to stop all of us. You feel me?
I feel you.
I'm a piece to it, but we got some dogs.
You don't like podiums, do you?
That ain't my thing.
What is your thing?
Lay back, kick back.
Yeah.
Mind my business, stay in my own lane.
Yeah. So you just gonna sit in the cut and just chill. That's what you do.
Just kick back. Game time, though. I'll be there.
What you like about this week?
What I like about this week? This whole experience.
No. Except for Media Day. He doesn't like that experience.
Being able to have this opportunity.
Has anything surprised you?
Yeah, being here. It's big.
It's huge.
It is.
It's what you dreamt of.
It is. And it's right here in front of me, too.
You brought the whole family?
They on the way.
They on the way?
Yeah. Town business going to be in the building.
Marshall Faulk loves you, man.
That's huge. That's huge. That's a great, too.
He respects you and he loves you. He loves your game. We all love your game, man. We love Beast Mode.
That's big time. Beast Mode, love. And appreciate that.
Richard Sherman shows up 5 minutes.
Go, man. I'm proud of you, man. Thank you for that. Thank you, man.
I jumped the gun there. So Richard Sherman shows up 5 minutes before Media Day is supposed to start. He shows up 5 minutes early, and he's there the entire hour-ish. That two-minute clip, that love fest with Deion and Marshawn Lynch, that's Marshawn Lynch's entire contribution to Super Bowl Media Day. How laid back was that? If Marshawn Lynch was any more laid back in that interview, we would have fallen asleep in the middle of the interview. I mean, I was yawning here. I swear Marshawn Lynch had to have been stoned yesterday at Super Bowl Media Day. Had to have been high. I'd bet anything that he was high. High as a kite. I mean, he had his hood wrapped as tight as he could around his head. He had his Louis Vuitton sunglasses on. Come on, Marshawn, let me smell your hair. Let me see your pupils. Come on. Let me see. Seahawks fan, if you want to make some money, you got to go to New York and volunteer your urinary services to Marshawn Lynch, just in case he gets a random test before the Super Bowl. You don't get suspended for the Super Bowl because he was anxious about appearing at Super Bowl Media Day. And, you know, Pete Carroll has already come out and said that he thinks NFL players should be able to take medicinal marijuana. So Marshawn Lynch was anxious about yesterday, and then he was depressed about the anxiety he was feeling about appearing at Super Bowl Media Day yesterday. And the fact that he had his sunglasses on all day, his eyes must have been hurting. Maybe it was the cataracts, something. What are some of the other things that you tell the doctor if you want medicinal marijuana? Anyway, Deion Sanders, so gentle in that interview. So caring. I was moved. Personally, I was moved. It's the most confusing thing I've ever seen in all my years of watching sports. Imagine taking part of this interview. You put a little Jodeci music underneath it. It'd be something.
I like when you got off the plane with the Beast Mode and everything. It looked like you're ready to play, man.
Yeah, that's what time it is.
You kind of shy.
Nah.
You just don't want to talk, really.
I'm just about that action, boss.
You about to go get it. You just like to do it.
That's what it is.
You don't like podiums, do you?
That ain't my thing.
What is your thing?
Lay back, kick back. Yeah. Mind my business, stay in my own lane.
Yeah. So you just gonna sit in the cut and just chill. That's what you do.
Just kick back.
Marshall Faulk loves you, man.
That's huge. That's huge.
He respects you and he loves you. He loves your game. We all love your game, man. We love Beast Mode.
That's big time. Beast Mode, love, and appreciate that.
All right, I gotta take a break after that. Maybe need a cigarette and a shower after that. I'm going to talk to someone who was at Media Day yesterday, someone who's in New York covering the Super Bowl. That's next on CBS Sports Radio.
Northern Nevada's new home for sports, 96.1 and 1270. CBS Sports Radio.
People keep asking me about my hair, if that's a factor in the game. Normally, I keep my hair pretty low, but I actually saw a 11th grade picture of my dad and I when I was in 11th grade. We won the state championship, and I had my hair grown out. I didn't cut my hair the whole year for that season, and my dad didn't either, so it kind of inspired me for this year. So that's kind of why. And I have the Michael Jackson, Bruno Mars S-curl right now.
CBS Sports Radio, back with the Sports Buffet. My name is Notch. Somebody asked Russell Wilson if his hair is going to make a difference in the Super Bowl. What top 40 radio pop culture dipwad media outlet was that guy from? You should have to identify yourselves. You play 50 minutes of slow jams every hour. You should have to tell us that before you ask if Russell Wilson's hair... it's a factor in the Super Bowl. Russell Wilson also asked what he texted his buddy Macklemore after the Grammy Awards. Russell Wilson actually did a great job repeating a shortened version of questions asked him, because one of the things I hate about press conferences is the audio quality of the people that are being asked the questions is outstanding, but the audio quality of it's like,
Russell Wilson, okay, can you tell me if your hair... is part of the reason why you're in the Super Bowl.
I mean, you can barely hear what they're saying. It's just irking me. Bob G, talk to me about Media Day.
Hey, guys, you know, they're making a big joke out of this. I'm saying, you know, I think about past Media Days, and I'm going, it's become, even the media, they're saying it's become ridiculous, it's stupid. And I'm going, and, you know, they're probably sick. These guys are sick and tired of answering the normal questions that you ask these guys. You know, what do you think of being at, you know, the Super Bowl, football's number one game? You know, or playing in cold weather or something like that. But I think they're tired. And yesterday, I tried to call yesterday. I couldn't call. But you mentioned the Chinese journalist that was asking some stupid questions. And you're right. How they have to be screened before they do this.
I don't care if they're screened. Well, they should be screened a little bit.
Right.
But at least identify yourself in full to the entire media throng and the people watching at home, so that way we know who you are asking these questions.
Right, right.
That's all I'm asking.
But they're making, like I say, they've already talked about this. I listen to ESPN Radio. I listen to CBS Sports Radio, NBC, and they're all making a joke out of this Media Day. Why don't they bring it back to where it should be?
It's part of the pop culture phenomenon of this game, just like the commercials are.
Right, and even the players, you get fined. And if you don't attend, well, you better have something to come, you know, you better prepare something, because that's what it's for. It's for answering questions about the, you know, football's biggest game, especially in where it's being played. And that Chinese lady yesterday, I mean, at least she could have answered, or asked a normal question.
Hey,
I
but John Fox was awesome, because he said he was excited because it was the year of the horse.
Mm-hmm.
So that worked out actually really well.
Right. Well, I mean, I was thinking of her, and she could have at least said, you know, like, hey, you know, if by chance, you know, you have Chinese food the day before this big game, what would you want your fortune cookie to say?
Oh, my God.
You
know? That's an even worse question.
Oh, no, come on.
That's an even worse question.
And then you also mentioned something about, and you know, and endorsements. I think, you know, Marshawn Lynch. How about Rosetta Stone?
That's good. I like that.
All right. Well, thank you, man.
Hey,
and
Bob,
hey, thanks for what you're doing for Mike, man.
I appreciate you listening, man.
All right. Take care, buddy.
All right. 1823-1920, 775-823-1920. I have on the phone with me right now someone who can give us a firsthand account of Media Day. He's in New York City right now for the Super Bowl. His name is Armin Williams. He's a friend of mine from 104.5, The Team in Albany. Armin, how is the crowd? And I don't mean you media types. I mean the people actually forked over the $28.50 to sit in the stands and be part of this.
I would tell you that the Prudential Center was at least half full. I would say it was at least half full. And it's funny because we're not talking about, like, hey, Jan, let's go swing by the Prudential Center. We're talking about NFL fans. Probably most of them from this area who happen to be a Denver, Seattle fan who went all out. I mean, I saw a dude, a Denver fan that was dressed up like a wizard. I saw a chick that was dressed up like a fairy, I guess. These are diehard, crazy NFL fans. And the NFL, credit to them. I mean, I know they're getting $28.50 from it, but it is a really cool fan experience. I mean, there's not many people that get to experience Media Day, and the NFL has, you know, they have made it a fan experience by they select different players at different times to feed the audio through the speakers, to put it on the big screens, and it's a really cool thing to be a part of and to see.
Now, I know that some of the real journalists, the serious sports media types, were getting cut off. Like, this one guy was trying to ask John Fox a question about concussions, and this little Chinese woman cut him off to ask John Fox about the Chinese New Year. How often has it happened to you where you've been cut off by someone from VH1 or Azteca America or someone from overseas or Sports Illustrated for Kids or something?
Yeah, at Media Day, there is definitely those reporters from E! Entertainment Live, that feel like they can just take over and walk up and do their own thing. So, like Queen Latifah, by the way, I didn't know that Queen Latifah had a show, but there were two old ladies, I mean old, like in their 80s, and they were dressed up, ladies in their 80s, and they were dressed up in like a Peyton Manning jersey, and they had on eye black, and they, you know, I had been standing waiting at Peyton Manning's podium to the front for about half an hour, and I hear this, "Excuse me, old lady, excuse me, old lady," and they push their way to the front. And they didn't care who was asking who, and guess what happened? Peyton, this old lady needs a hug. And guess what? Peyton quits talking to the media, looks over at grandma, gets off the podium, spends 45 seconds, gives her a hug, and the rest of us are going, shoot me in the head. I have questions I need to ask because I have a deadline for my job, not Queen Latifah.
So what questions did you ask? Who did you ask and what did you ask?
Yeah, well, my favorite question was, and I think you would completely support this, look, this is a Denver-Seattle Super Bowl, so in your respective state, you're allowed to smoke weed. So, do you smoke weed? That was my favorite, because every single guy, like, had the blank face, like, oh, no, I can't answer this. And, you know, some of them would go out of their way and be like, they acted like they'd never heard of the word weed before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they act like, oh, I have no idea what you're how's football? What, Skittles? I mean, they just went totally a different direction. I enjoyed talking to Doug Baldwin, wide receiver of the Seattle Seahawks, and I asked him about, you know, of course, he brought up Chris Carter and Keyshawn Johnson at the end of the NFC Championship game. And I asked him about that. I said, dude, for real, you're telling me when you had a 65-yard touchdown reception that Chris Carter's words are echoing in your head, that you are thinking of Chris Carter and his bushy eyebrows while you're running down the field? And he goes, I would be lying to you if I said no. I got to tell you that that's true. So, I think that's crazy that TV guys, outside guys, can really have an impact and hack these guys off. I mean, Doug Baldwin told me today he had the game of his life because those two Hall of Famers dogged his game and dogged his wide receiving core.
It's amazing the chip that they carry on their shoulders, isn't it?
It is, man. I mean, but you know what? Whatever works. Whatever. I have a buddy who says that's completely, completely ridiculous. They make millions. They shouldn't have to use that as motivation. Well, you know what? They're in the Super Bowl and you're not. So they can use whatever they want for motivation. But it is crazy, the little things that they're at.
Explain the Richard Sherman phenomenon from a direct vantage point. You were there. Were you like 20 deep at the Richard Sherman podium? Did you even try Richard Sherman podium? Or was it one of those things where it's like the one toy at Christmas time, there's no way you're going to be able to buy one? Was it one of those situations you actually try to get up to the Richard Sherman podium?
Well, my radio station had this idea. Then when we came up with it, it was a great idea. But now looking back, it was the dumbest thing we've ever done. Because we told the listeners, hey, you guys tell us what we should ask Richard Sherman, and we'll vote on it. So we took a fan question. So I had to ask Richard Sherman this question from a listener. I absolutely had to. So around Richard Sherman, and I kid you not, there was more media than there was for Peyton Manning. There was more media than there was for either head coach. You name the player, Richard Sherman had the most cameras, had the most media. And in order, it probably took me 20 minutes to work my way through about probably 10 people deep, and it took me 20 minutes to get to the front. And on my way to the front, I got cussed out by two people telling me, get out of my way, you're pushing me. I mean, that's how aggressive and that's how amped up people were just to get in that one question for Richard Sherman. And, of course, you know, Richard Sherman basically spends the entire hour backpedaling and saying, well, you know, let me spend this time to give all my credit to everybody else around me. You know, I mean, if that's what happens when he spoke off emotion the first time, now he's trying to give a shout-out to everybody else and use this as an opportunity to be a team player.
No, he's brilliant, actually, because he knows that there's mainstream media at this event. So for his marketability, he can't be intense, don't you talk about me, Richard Sherman, like he was with Aaron Andrews. Because the hardcore football fans, a lot of them actually can relate to him because, oh, it's an emotional game, he's an emotional guy. But the mainstream media doesn't want that. The regular people out there, the non-sports media, they got to see the kind of Richard Sherman that he probably is about 95 to 98% of the time. The semi-normal Richard Sherman, you would think.
Well, and that's who he was today. He was smiley. He was quick on his toes. He was funny. He was personable. He would take a jab at you and then just wink at you and be like, thank you so much for that question. I mean, he was politician Richard Sherman today. There's no doubt.
Guy's brilliant. He's very media savvy.
Absolutely.
So best interviews, worst interviews in general from your experience being right there at Media Day.
Yeah, from my experience, for the Denver Broncos, there was a stanchion, like a divider, where the Broncos players hung out at who weren't, like, you know, one of the highlighted players. So the top 17 guys get a podium. If you don't get a podium, you go hang out behind this divider, and then the media calls you up. So I went over to this divider, and my goal was to find the one guy that did not want to talk to the media, the one guy that was hiding behind the curtain, and I found him. And I said, hey, man, come here. And he came up, and he is a practice squad offensive lineman, and oh, his name is totally slipping right now.
Squad offensive linemen tend to do.
Absolutely, exactly. And he walks up to me, and I kid you not, he smelled so bad. He reeked of alcohol. His eyes were red, and he just kept giggling and giving me one-word answers. And, you know, I would ask him stuff like, so you having a good time? And he's like, can't really talk about that. Next question. Wait, what? I mean, he was so oblivious to anything going on. It was 100% obvious that this guy is not playing on Sunday, and he just got a free ride. And, hey, for the practice squad minimum, sign me up for that too, you know?
Yeah, speaking of guys that, one guy had a podium for like 6 minutes, 7 minutes.
Yeah.
But then he didn't have a podium anymore. Marshawn Lynch, who didn't want to be at Media Day but showed up to Media Day and then decided he was going to have a two-minute love fest with Deion Sanders on NFL Network where he said a profanity on live television. But I swear to God, Marshawn Lynch was stoned. Do you think if they did a pop quiz tomorrow with him and a little plastic cup, do you think he'd pass?
You know, I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that a player that I spoke to from the Seahawks had glasses on his shirt. And I said, hey, man, why don't you put on your sunglasses and act all cool for me right now? And he said, oh, no, the NFL PR told us not to wear sunglasses. So Marshawn Lynch was told not to wear sunglasses. He was wearing sunglasses, and I'll tell you this too. Quickly, as Marshawn Lynch was only on the podium for 6 minutes and 20 seconds, he quickly became the story of Media Day because now suddenly that story spreads like wildfire. I had no idea it happened, but the person next to me is going up to every player that he can saying, hey, Marshawn Lynch just skipped out on Media Day. He's probably going to be fine. What's your reaction? Because, you know, now all of a sudden we're trying to get that breaking news. So Marshawn Lynch, maybe on accident, like Richard Sherman on accident, stole the headlines in that regard today.
What's your opinion about Marshawn Lynch basically being a no-show, even though he was technically, physically there at Media Day? Do you have a problem with that? Or do you think he's one of those guys, like Marshall Faulk and Kurt Warner really defending him, talking about this? Some guys aren't talkers. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I had to talk. Today I talked to about 20 guys, and all of them told me, I hate this, I'm uncomfortable with this, I don't like this, I don't like this attention, I wish I wasn't here, this is the worst part about it. You hear Peyton Manning saying that this gets in the way, this is the biggest distraction, but you just handle it. Everybody else has to deal with it. Everyone else has to handle it. Why doesn't Marshawn Lynch? So I would like to know the exact reason as to why he felt like he should not go through the exact same thing that every other NFL player goes through this year and years past. I mean, there were several guys that were uncomfortable. I mean, they were literally shaking when I was talking to them. They did not like being in that situation. If they had the opportunity to leave, they would have left. They could not do that. Why Marshawn Lynch did that, and if he gets away with it, yeah, I would say I'm surprised and don't really like that he's get away with walking out. Because in the future, if I'm a guy that doesn't like interviews at Super Bowl, okay, well, Marshawn Lynch walked out after 6 minutes. I'm not staying for an hour. I mean, he left 55 minutes before the event was over. Are you kidding me?
Talking Super Bowl Media Day with Armin Williams from 104.5 The Team in Albany, New York, who has a media credential for the Super Bowl. Thanks for coming on with me. Tell us about your itinerary now, because starting with Wednesday, 4 days to go until the Super Bowl, and I mean, you're based out of New York as it is, so tell us what's going on. Where are they putting you up? I mean, what are you going to be doing on Wednesday?
Putting me up. That's funny. Well, you know, the radio companies, radio owners, these days will take any opportunity to not put you up. So I'm actually staying with my aunt and uncle in New Jersey. And as the rest of the week, you know, looks, Nacho, I'm just going to be hanging out on Radio Row and talking. I have a lot of former NFL players and some other random ESPN, Fox celebrities I'm going to talk to. But I'll tell you this. Let me say this so far after day two from New York and New Jersey as a community, two states that are hosting the Super Bowl. Hats off to you. So far, so good. I got off the train today at Penn Station, like I have done dozens of times. And there have been times where I've been at Penn Station and I'm lost. I need assistance. And people will not even look me in the eye. They will not come within 5 feet of me. There is never one person to help me. Today, I got off the train and there was a person in a gold jacket that had the Super Bowl logo on it. And she said, "Welcome to New York City. We're so glad to have you in our city that we're so proud of. Do you have any questions I can answer?" And I swear to you, I thought I was at the wrong Penn Station. I was in so much shock. I thought I was in Never Never Land. It was unbelievable. And that is the kind of treatment I have seen all weekend long throughout the entire city and then into Newark today as we are at the Prudential Center. What these volunteers are doing and the number of volunteers that they have. NFL, hats off to you so far. It's a great performance.
You going to take in some hockey Wednesday night, stadium series? You going to be able to take time off for that?
Well, you know, the NHL, who needs the publicity, decided to put a deadline on their media credential back in November, right? So I emailed them 3 weeks ago and asked for a credential, and they said, "Oh, sorry, we put the close on that 4 months ago, 3 months ago." What? Why would you ever do that? And then a ticket for this thing, Notch. I mean, if you want a decent seat, we're talking $250. So, no, I mean, I'm going to hang out in the city, and there's plenty of other things to do than go to the stadium series. And, you know, go into the Knicks game against Oklahoma City on Thursday. I'd love to go to that as well. But, again, we're talking $200-$400 for a ticket, man. I mean, this week, all of these teams, UFC included, the big UFC event in Newark this weekend, everybody was so smart and planning their New York sports event around this Super Bowl game. It's brilliant, and it just adds to the spectacle and all the events around this game.
So talk about Radio Row a little bit, because I've heard about it. You hear some of the major national hosts that hang out on Radio Row. How many people guests on potential radio shows are some of those people that it's past their prime and they're just kind of desperate for attention? How many people are like that, to where they're kind of like the 60-year-old woman still dressing up in their daughter's dresses going out to the bar trying to get picked up by somebody?
Yeah, it's a lot of that. You know, it's a lot of washed-up guys. It's a lot of guys that are looking for a job. You know, and it's also companies that know that if they can hire that washed-up guy that's just, he could use, you know, 50 grand at this point in his life. So Stone Cold Creamery, for example, the ice cream joint, has six former NFL players who probably haven't had a gig in, 20 years. And they're going to be going table to table tomorrow. And gosh dang it, you know, as a station for your home for New York sports, I'll take every former Jet and former Giant they got. So, you know, that's part of it. And to kind of give the listeners an idea of Radio Row, we're talking about a very large conference room at the Sheraton on Times Square, and there is over 130 tables that are just slammed next to each other in this gigantic room with thousands of radio personalities, and every single table has a different radio show in a different city in a different country going on at the same time. It's a room that'll take your breath away. It's pretty cool.
Now, I can be a pretty loud guy on occasion. Do you think, I mean, are these tables close enough to where you have to watch your volume so you're not so loud that you're bleeding over into other people's shows?
Well, here's the thing. When you're on the radio, what's on your ears? Headset. So, I mean, you know, I got to be careful when I say this, but we have a table next to some guys who are so stinking loud that, you know, when I do interviews, when I'm on the air, you can hear them. I mean, it bleeds over. Absolutely. That's part of Radio Row, though, too. That's part of the entire week. You remind your listeners, hey, you know that blowhard from Chicago who's sitting behind us? He won't shut up right now. You know, that's part of what this week is about, coming together with all these guys. But absolutely, I mean, you have these radio personalities that use their over-the-top loud voice, and it just bleeds into your broadcast. Greatness.
So you're based out of New York, Albany, New York. Who have you had on your program this week so far? Because you have like a New York slant to your programs.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, today was the first day that we started broadcasting from Radio Row, and we were at Media Day the entire day. So, you know, today was spent with the players and NFL Network guys. I had on actually Deion Sanders, Brian Billick, things like that. But I would say I'm most excited this week in regards to New York sports to having on Daryl Strawberry. He's going to be a really good one. So, you know, it'll be a fun week to talk New York sports and see what's going on in the community with former players.
All right, Armin Williams, 104.5 The Team in Albany. He's there. So I'm not just talking about it from as the vantage point of some guy watching on NFL Network. I'm actually talking to somebody who's there, experiencing this firsthand. Thanks for coming on with me.
Hey, and you know what, Notch? You make up stuff a lot. So this is big for you to take the next step and call someone there. I'm proud of you on this one, man. Thanks for having me on.
I'm growing leaps and bounds, Bubba.
There you go. I hear you.
That's epic. Staying with Auntie and Uncle. The glamorous life of broadcasting. Got to take a quick break. Coming back, got to give the Wolfpack some love. They have a home game tonight. Also, a couple NBA and NHL picks for you as well. CBS Sports Radio.
96.1 and 1270.
CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio at 96.1, 1270 here in Reno. It's not Sports Buffet. Got about 4.5 minutes. Wolfpack tonight. Colorado State coming to Lawler. Winnable game for the Wolfpack as they're third right now in the Mountain West. Colorado State 3-4 in conference, 12-8 overall. Winnable game for the Wolfpack, and the sportsbooks think so too. Nevada favored by 3. Over-under is 139.5. The under is the play in this game because in conference, each team's played 7 games in conference. Nevada's only gone over 139.5 twice. One of those games was a double OT game in Fresno. And Colorado State's only gone over 139.5 3 times out of 7 games. So once again, if you're going to take a wager on this game, under 139.5 is the play. Did you know, by the way, Nevada, I looked this up, they're ranked 320th in the country in assists per game. That's really impressive that you could be 320th in anything. I didn't know there were that many college basketball teams in Division I. But key to tonight's game, the Rams have a legitimate edge with the tall guys rebounding. Daniel Bejarano, 9 boards a game. He's averaging 16.5 points per game. Their leading scorer, J.J. Avila, 18.5 points a game, also 7.6 boards a game. A.J. West, Jerry Evans, Cole Huff, need big games from those guys. Obviously, Deonte Burton got to have a big game from him. Cole Huff's got to stay outside, I think. The key, if I'm coaching the Pack, Cole Huff's your leading 3-point shooter. Have Cole play in the perimeter. Let A.J. and Evans handle the rebounding. Make sure Burton gets his shots. Go Pack tonight. That game's at Lawler around 7 o'clock. We'll talk about that tomorrow. NBA last night, the Underpalooza in Detroit. I was spot on with that, 103-87. So if you did what I did, took a two-gamer with the first half under and the total game under, cha-ching. Warriors kind of messed me up, though. They were favored by 4.5 in the first half, and they were up by 6 until John Wall made a layup with 8/10 of a second to go in the first half. So thanks for nothing, Golden State. They lost the game, too, outright. So it's a good thing you didn't bet them on the overall game. Indiana was tied with L.A. at the first half, so obviously they didn't cover the first half spread of 5.5. They were favored by 5.5, but they had a big run in the third and fourth quarters. So they covered the total, the 9 for the total game. Other games of note that I didn't mention yesterday on the Sports Buffet. Knicks, if you took them, they covered. They blew out Boston in MSG. And if you took the under between the Grizz and the Blazers in Portland, the Grizzlies blew them out. Blazers only scored 81 points. So that was kind of bad for Blazer fan. Tonight, I've got 3 overs for you. Pelicans, Timberwolves, 205, take the over in that one. Memphis, after what they did to Portland, they go to Sacramento tonight. It's 192.5 at the Sleep Train. I'm going to take the over in the Grizz and the Kings. And OKC, Miami, the Heat are favored by 3.5, but I'm not touching that one with a 10-foot pole. The over, though, is the over-under is 203. I'm taking the over in that one. There's only 3 NHL games tonight. Blue Jackets lost last night, as I said they would, but the both the overs that I said were going to hit that didn't hit were at 5 total goals. But the Kings ride that under with the Kings. Got to do that. Tonight there's only 3 NHL games, one of them the Stadium Series. Yankee Stadium again with the Rangers. The Islanders coming to town this time. Take the Islanders on the money line plus the 125. Also take the over 5.5 goals in the Stadium Series game tonight, which is on NBC Sports Network. If you feel more inclined to bet hockey, a couple of road favorites in the other two games, San Jose at Edmonton, Chicago at Vancouver. Both road favorites on the money line. Chicago's like minus 120. San Jose's like minus 140. Also, 5.5. Take the over 5.5 Blackhawks Canucks tonight. That's it for the Sports Buffet. Thanks to Armin Williams from 104.5 The Team in Albany for joining me. Thanks to Marshawn Lynch for being you. Talk to you tomorrow right here on the Sports Buffet. This is CBS Sports Radio. Thank you for listening and have a great day.
From the Reno Media Group,
KBZZ Sparks Reno,
96.1 and 1270, Northern Nevada's home of the San Francisco 49ers, plus Tiki Barber, Boomer Esiason, Jim Rome, Panama, and more. CBS.